Hi everybody, Steve Savitsky here, and today we have Rabbi Ari Sitna, who is the rabbi of the BSBI in Charleston, South Carolina. And Ari is a really wonderful rabbi. I've spent time in his shul, and he has an incredible story, and the Jewish Action played somewhat of a role in it. So, Ari, how are you, and how are you doing today?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing terrific. Terrific.
Well, that's really great. It's great to hear that, and when I heard about what had happened and read a little bit about your story, I just said, this is something my viewing audience has to really listen, because I think it's really inspirational. And so why don't you tell them a little bit about how you became a kidney donor, and well, then I'll ask you some questions. So why don't you just, let's start with the beginning of, you know, what motivated you to do this and what happened?
Absolutely. Well, a couple of years ago, I was trying to create a series of exciting shiurim and lectures in our shul, and I decided that medical ethics shiurim were really a hot topic, and so I launched a six-month program where we looked at everything from stem cell research to organ donation. And as I really continued to research and to develop these classes, so the participation grew, and it got very interactive and a very exciting time in our shul. And the more research I did, it started to become more and more clear to me that while most of the topics that I was teaching about were sort of theoretical, the topic of kidney donation just sort of resonated and stayed in the back of my mind as being something that is very doable. Of course, you know, it's not for me, because it's a crazy thing to do. So I dismissed it as being something I would ever do, but it just seemed like something that is shayach. And I remember at the time thinking, why don't we hear more about kidney donation? Because from a halachic perspective, it's something which is not only permitted, but it's a tremendous mitzvah. We're talking about hatzalas nefashos. You can save a life. It's, you know, the greatest mitzvah that we can do. But yet you don't really hear people talking about it. And every now and then you flip through the newspapers and you see people putting forth very heartfelt requests. And they're genuinely appealing to the community. If there's anyone out there that's willing to be a donor, please help save our father or our brother or our sister or our mother. And so the need exists, but there really is very little conversation. And the hashgacha pratis of it was that just at that time in my life, after I had finished giving these shiurim, and the ideas began to fade into the recesses of my mind, that was when I opened the Jewish Action magazine and come across this spread, which sort of spoke to the very question that I had. Why isn't anyone speaking about this? And there it was, and it was talking about kidney mitzvah and the opportunity for people to reach out and to be paired with others who are interested. And so I closed the magazine after reading the article, and I put it away for at least a month or two. I was happy to see it, and again, it just sort of disappeared, because this is not something I would ever do. It's just something which is wonderful. I'm glad that the Tzibor is speaking about it. And as the weeks continued to go by, that article just kept popping up in the back of my mind. And it spoke to me more and more. And I said, you know what? I gave all these classes. Let me do a follow-up. Let me make a phone call or two and just sort of learn a little bit more about the practical aspects of it. And I had to tell myself that by making these phone calls, and this is a very important point, I wasn't making any commitment to go through surgery or to give a kidney. It was simply a first step to just ask questions. And I think everyone in the audience needs to realize that there has to always be that first step. I just want to be educated. I want to learn some more information.
So the natural, fear of going ahead, you know, something which is real, which everybody who is going to be a potential kidney donor is going to experience. And, you know, I mean, maybe there are some people who just say, I'm doing this, I don't care what happens. But for most people, it's, let me just check it out first to see what it's all about.
Absolutely. And I actually had a number of hurdles which were very beneficial to me, because it slowed me down. It kept me at a very healthy pace. My initial thought was, if I make this phone call, a week from now, I might be giving a kidney. And the truth is, it was well over a year because of the testing and because of the process. It's not something that is an emergency today that you have to be on the table tomorrow. It's something you can take your time and can prepare for.
Is that the normal time period that, you know, first of all, who do you call? I know the article. I mean, the people at the Jewish Action were so excited because, you know, you put out a publication and it's a great publication and everybody reads it. And I think it's really one of the premier, magazines in the Jewish world today. And when they heard about it, they said, wow, isn't that something? Because of what we wrote, it sparked, you know, even you to move even further. But I guess, is there an organization that does it? How does it work?
There are several organizations, and because of the Jewish Action, it really pushed me in the right direction. I was able to contact Chaya Lipschitz, who runs a tremendous organization called Kidney Mitzvah, and that's her website. You can go to Kidney Mitzvah online, Google it.
KidneyMitzvah.com.
And yeah, exactly, and she is a tzaddikus who just literally spends her life running around trying to help people who are in need of kidneys and to find the matches for them. And through several conversations with her, she put me in touch with Sam Shmuley Waldman, who works with another organization, Matnat Chaim, who helps people in Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is that the landscape of organ donation in Israel, it's very, very difficult. There's a lot of red tape, there are a lot of halachic questions, and because of that, people in Eretz Yisrael really find themselves in a very difficult position where they often have to travel the world just to be able to find somebody who's willing to give them a kidney. And so through those channels of speaking to Chaya and to Shmuley, they were able to point me in the right direction. And they have wonderful relationships, for instance, with Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx. And they put me in touch with Pat McDonough, who's a transplant coordinator. And again, it was just a series of preliminary conversations. We talked. She explained things to me and said, if you're interested, why don't I send you a questionnaire? And you'll fill it out. And I was thinking to myself, you know, there's no way that I'm in good enough shape to be a kidney donor. I'm like everybody else. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not a triathlete. There's no way that I'm going to do this. So I fill out all the medical information. I fax it into her. And she calls me back a few days later and says, okay, everything looks fine. Let's talk a little more. And it was just, again,
that's when you really start to get nervous, right?
Well, where I got nervous was when I had to sit down with my wife and tell her what I was thinking about doing, because at this point, I didn't even want to speak to my family about it because I just wanted to know what it was I was going to speak to them about. I was certain that I would have been disqualified for medical reasons or that the whole process would be just so far-fetched that it wouldn't even be worth pursuing. So I basically collected enough information, and I said to my wife, can we sit down and go out to Starbucks and get a cup of coffee? I want to talk to you. So already she got a little nervous, but we sat down, and I said, I know this is crazy. And what I said to her was, I need you to talk me out of this, because as soon as you say no, I will drop it and never bring it up again. And I knew that I can sleep at night knowing that it really just was a ludicrous idea. And I told her I'm interested in giving a kidney because I could, and I feel inclined that if I can do so, I can save a life. I was really expecting her to say, you've got four kids to think about. You've got a community, a job, a wife. You have all these responsibilities. It's ridiculous. You can't put yourself at risk. And I've been anticipating. I have a long list of questions that I had. I can only imagine what everyone else must think. And her response was fantastic because she said to me, you don't have to decide right now that you're going to be a kidney donor. She said, why don't you put in your hishtadlus and start the process of going through the testing? If at some point you're going to be eliminated, so then you can put your head on the pillow at night and say, I tried, and Hashem said it wasn't for me. And if for some reason you continue to make it through all the testing, and there's a lot of it, and you turn out to be an ideal candidate, you could then make the decision at that point whether you actually want to go through with it or whether you don't want to go through with it. But at least just put one foot in front of the other. And it was the most incredible advice that she gave me, and she was extraordinarily supportive throughout the entire process.
That's incredible. So how long did it take? So you decided you wanted to do it. They said you were a candidate. So what was the next? What happened next?
So two things are happening at the same time. From my end of it, they want to begin the medical testing to see whether or not I'd be a proper fit. So they'll start off, for instance, with a blood test, and they'll do a urine test and echocardiogram and pulmonary function test and just a whole bunch of different exams, a CAT scan, and really what's interesting in the medical community, they call this the $1 million workup. And the nice part is that the recipient's insurance covers every last penny of it. So I said to myself,
no out-of-pocket expenses for you?
Not a cent. I mean, this program will cover my travel expenses so that I don't have to worry at the end of the day that this is coming out of my pocket. And so I felt very comfortable from a financial perspective. But I said, even medically, if something were wrong with me and I didn't know, these tests are going to find it. So if I get eliminated from kidney donation, at least I'll find something about myself that will help improve my health in the future. So it was a win-win. I really had nothing to lose. And so I went through the tests, and sure enough, they told me everything looks great. At the same time, they're working on their end with various potential recipients, and they're doing cross-matching to examine the blood type and the tissue type and to really find the ideal candidate. And the truth is that when we're looking for a kidney match, it's not like the way we hear about bone marrow, where to find a match is literally like looking for a needle in a haystack. When it comes to kidney donation, it's really not that difficult to find a match. If their blood type matches and they're in good health, you have a good match.
Really?
The problem is finding someone who's actually
willing.
There are
many potential donors then, as opposed to with the bone marrow.
There are so many potential donors, but most people, A, don't think about it, and B, they just don't consider that it's something they would ever do. And so as a result, I think the message is we need to educate the community to find more people that are willing just to take the first step, make a few phone calls, go through some free testing, and they don't have to make a commitment. The nice part of the second phase was that after I went through all the preliminary testing, they said, why don't you come up to New York? And they flew me up, and they said, we're going to go through the next round of testing, which it was very interesting. They have an entire team at the hospital, which is all about the donor advocacy. And so they're looking out for my best interest, and they're going to play devil's advocate to try to find a reason why I shouldn't donate. Very interesting. So what they do is I sit down with the transplant coordinator, the social worker, the psychologist, the nephrologist, the donor advocate, the physician, the surgeon, and I'm meeting a whole slew of medical professionals one by one, all of whom are on a team who are going to sit down after I leave and discuss my case and try to find a single reason, whether it pertains to my health currently or something that they may be concerned about 20 years from now. And to look for some reason to tell me, we don't want this guy to put himself at risk if he's not a proper candidate. And they, at the end of it all, they voted unanimously, and they agreed that everything worked out perfectly and that I would be, in fact, an ideal candidate. But I felt good knowing that they weren't trying to push me.
Okay, interesting. So there's an elimination process even at that point, you're saying.
Exactly.
How many people get rejected at that point, do you think?
I don't know the numbers, but there are definitely there's two ways. There's people who will get eliminated either for physical reasons or psychological reasons. They really want to make sure that you're stable. They were asking me questions about my family life. You know, who's going to watch my kids when I'm recuperating? I mean, just basic things to make sure I'm not getting in over my head and helping me go through the checklist. The other part, which was beautiful, is that they really are very focused on making sure I don't feel pressured, that I'm not being forced to do this. And so they say, if you at any point want to back out, we want you to know that not only will we allow you, but we'll cover for you. In other words, you could be on the table, ready for surgery, and say, I changed my mind, and what we'll do is we'll walk out of the operating room, and we will tell everybody that at the last minute we discovered you're not a good match, and you can go home with your head held high, and we'll take the blame. No one will ever have to know that you changed your mind. So they really want to protect your dignity and make sure you don't feel pressured.
Okay, so now you've passed all the tests. You're ready to go. They give you the green light. What about the person who is going to be the recipient? Do you meet them or not?
This is a very interesting situation. Because of the organizations that we've been dealing with, they have a particular match in Eretz Yisrael that they had in mind. This woman, her name is Ronit, and she's been looking for years. And honestly, her time had been running out. You can only be on dialysis so long before it just doesn't do the job anymore and a person can no longer live. She's a single mother and she has three kids. And she had been looking for years to try, literally travel the world, to go to different communities and try to see if there's anybody willing to give a kidney. And she just couldn't find anybody. In fact, she spoke to one organization in Israel who seemed extremely optimistic about them finding her a kidney. And after hours of phone conversations, they asked her one last question. They said, "By the way, are you Shomer Shabbos?" And she hesitated, and she says, "Well, I keep a kosher home, and I observe the holidays, but I'm not fully observant." And they said, "Thank you." And she said, after that, they never called me again.
Really? Wow.
And she was so devastated that they're choosing this organization, who they're going to work with based on how frum they are, which she said was just such a heartbreaking feeling to know that she almost had within her reach to save her life, and yet they turned their back on her. And that's the reality of what people are struggling with. So when Runit was paired based on our cross-matching, I was very excited, especially when I heard that this is somebody who has children, who's really struggling. I was so happy to be able to know that I can help somebody in that situation.
And so when did you actually meet her?
So a week before surgery, I went up to New York once more just for some last-minute pre-op testing. They just want to make sure everything is still good. And she had her same testing that same day. And in Montefiore Hospital, they have a wonderful little shul. And the transplant coordinator brought me to the shul right before my appointment. And at that point, I got to meet Ronit. And when I met her, she just, both of our faces just lit up. And she just started crying. And she tried over and over to say the words thank you, and I remember how she couldn't bring herself to do it because she just said, "I feel silly saying the word thank you. It's so meaningless compared to what it is that you're doing." And
for someone who's giving her a life, basically.
Right. A very, very deep connection. A very deep connection.
So then you had the operation, and when did you find out that it was going to be successful?
So one of the things that I really was very happy about going to Montefiore Hospital, they have an incredible track record. For instance, their donor side, they have 100% record as far as the success of the donor himself. In other words, they haven't lost a donor. Everyone has recovered successfully. But what you never really are going to know is the kidney going to take? It may fail, or we don't know. And so it takes a couple of days, but what they do is they're constantly measuring the recipient's different levels and numbers. And I remember when I went into the operating room, they gave me some medication. I fell asleep. A couple hours later, I woke up, and I was drugged up and happy and comfortable. And 2 days after that, I was out of the hospital already. And it was a laparoscopic procedure. Really was incredible. And throughout, I was in touch with Ronit. We had rooms right down the hall from each other.
And how long was she in the hospital?
So she was in the hospital for a couple of more days than I was, and she still had to go back and forth for constant testing to monitor her numbers. For instance, the creatinine is the level that they're going to be measuring to see if the kidneys are actually cleaning the toxins out of the body. And before the surgery, her level was at about 14. And the day after the surgery, with a new kidney, it was already at 7.
Really?
Within 2 or 3 days of that, it went down to 2. The normal creatinine level should be between 1 and 2. And today, a month later, her creatinine level is 1 point something. And so she's just absolutely perfect.
Now, she went back to Israel. She's back in Israel?
She's actually still in the States. She has one more surgery coming up this week where they're going to be removing they have sort of an implanted dialysis system in her abdomen that was keeping her alive for the last several years. And they basically said, "You don't need it anymore." And so they're going to be removing that and hopefully in the next few weeks sending her back home to her kids.
And so you've been in touch with a post-op?
We call each other a couple of times a week, and we're always in touch, and I'm in touch with her kids. It's very nice. She has a son who just turned bar mitzvah a few months ago, and she said when he found out that the donor was a rabbi, he said, I'm going to make a commitment to putting on my tefillin every day.
Really? Wow.
And so it's a very deep connection.
I tell you, it's an incredible, incredible story, Rabbi Sitner, and yasher koach to you for having the courage to do something which saved a life, which is the greatest thing in the entire world. And hopefully, by listening to this interview, people in the listening audience will say, you know, this is something that I can do also, and I could really make a difference. And I'm glad in some way we at the OU and the Jewish Action played a small, very small role, but at least we contributed somehow in some way to your decision. So I want to thank you so much. It's an inspirational story. Good luck to you. Feel good, and hopefully you'll stay in touch with her, as I'm sure you will, and I'm sure that other people out there will be inspired. So thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.